You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Now we're hearing reports that the female shooter was 28 years old. First, it was a teen. Again, this is why, before you rush out to the cameras to get on your political soapbox, it's a good idea to just wait for the facts to come in. I'm not saying that really changes anything as far as the horrific nature of this. It doesn't. But I'm saying that a lot of this information is still in flux. Like, we're still getting all different sorts of reports. It's four people, it's five people, now it's six people. And it amazes me how quickly the left gears up to make their political points. And, you know, when these things happen, there's an argument that's made that says, well, no more thoughts and prayers, which I always think is ridiculous, because prayers should never be, downplayed as if they don't mean a lot to a lot of people. But also there's this angle that we have to talk about it now because, you know, it's not good enough to wait. And I've always understood that to a degree. And people can talk about things whenever they want to talk about it. But when I saw this woman on CNN, and she's not from the area, she comes by the school to talk to these reporters. Or I don't know, she just happened to be by the school. I don't know. And she starts spouting off all these things that we don't even know yet. She says it's likely the gun was purchased legally. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I have no idea. That's the point, though. I have no idea. She's going, it was likely it's unsecured. It's likely this. It's likely that. And I'm thinking, who the hell are you? And how do you know any of this? And I know she was part of another mass shooting, and I'm sure she has a lot of trauma. And I'm not, you know, invalidating any of that. But you can't just show up to something like this where people are terrified and start acting like you have all the details when nobody has the details yet. They're still figuring it out themselves. They're still trying to identify this woman. And Karine Jean-Pierre gets up at the podium and she says, how many kids have to be murdered before Republicans will pass an assault weapons ban? And what really irritates me about this, besides the ghoulish nature of trying to exploit this for Joe Biden's political wish list, what really irritates me about this is that the second there's something in this story that does not fit the narrative, it will be dropped. The networks will go away, the cameras will go away, the microphones will go away if it does not fit the narrative. And it's so sad because there are real victims here. There are kids who are dead. It shouldn't matter, you know, if it works with Joe Biden's agenda or not, but that's exactly what ends up happening. We see this every time. Like, Karine Jean-Pierre didn't waste 40 seconds before coming out, and not even with any nuance. Like, I understand maybe coming out and saying we need to work together to make progress, to pass something, but to just come out and prop up your piece of legislation and say, if you guys don't pass this, then that means you're on board with what's happening. How many more kids have to be murdered before you'll do what we want? It's really, really ghoulish and gruesome. 844-500-4242. I do want to switch gears here for a little bit, and we'll keep you, obviously, I know I keep saying this, but we will, as we find out more information, we will tell you, but we like to find out the accurate information. We don't want to just talk about things that we don't know yet and speculate. I'm not big into speculation. I don't think it's good. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Kamala Harris, because there was a report last week, and there's been some rumblings, that Kamala actually, sorry, I'm going to change it up here. I was going to go with Kamala Harris. I think I'm going to go with something else, Jared, because this story is too good to miss. and it's a little break from this depressing news today. This is a story you've heard multiple times on this show in different forms. It comes back. It's evergreen, though. It doesn't seem to ever be going away. And every time, Jared, it's still high. It's still very notable figures. You know, we're not dealing with, it's not like we've gotten through all the best of the best and now we're kind of rummaging around at the bottom of the barrel. These are still well-known people who are pretending to be Native American and they're getting caught. And that's why I always say it's a tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time. Tune as old as song. Bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you were wrong.
Finding you can change. You can change, but you might get caught. All right, so one of Hollywood's leading Native American figures is being accused of faking her claims of Cherokee heritage. Award-winning Heather Ray. She's got quite the resume. She actually might put Elizabeth Warren to shame.
Poop!
She serves on the Academy of Motion Pictures Indigenous Alliance. She previously headed up the Sundance Institute's Native American program, and she's claimed, my mother was Indian and my father was a cowboy.
Oh, high cheekbones. Here we go.
That sounds like that Cher song. My mother was Indian and my father was a cowboy. It sounds like a country song or something. Multiple prior reports have also cited her as having a Cherokee mother. But a watchdog group, which I just want to give a shout out to because I like your work. I respect what you're doing. Tribal Alliance Against Frauds. You know what? Put me down. Put me down. I am against frauds as well. I would prefer, selfishly here, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of an editorial twist. I think it should be Tribal Alliance Against Fraudsters, because I think that word packs more of a punch. And if you say it in a British accent, fraudsters, I think it really drives home the point. But either way, they're against fraud, so we're on board. Now, they're demanding the Academy and the producer drop her false claims. And activists are insisting that at best, she's 1/2048th Cherokee.
That's actually less than Elizabeth Warren,
I know.
I believe.
That's why I said that she's one-upping Elizabeth Warren, because not only is she less Native American, but she's used it more to her advantage, I would say, than Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren checked the box. But she didn't go around, like, talking about it all that much. She would drop the occasional, I have high cheekbones, cold crab omelet, here's a recipe, enjoy. But it wasn't her whole brand. This woman's entire persona was being a Native American. Now, the group accuses her of profiting from usurping real American Indian voices and perspectives and being a fraudulent so-called pretendian. Which I'm shocked we hadn't heard of that before. Until now.
That's a solid contribution.
She's married to another Hollywood producer, Russell Friedenberg, and the eldest of their three children is actress Johnny Sequoia, who currently stars in the reboot of Dexter. I didn't know they were doing a reboot of Dexter. Ironically, Ray was already caught up in the highest profile pretendian scandal to hit Hollywood. The producer was thanked by the Academy last year for brokering an apology to Sasheen Littlefeather. Littlefeather was blacklisted in Hollywood. Remember she appeared for Marlon Brando and she declined the Oscar? You remember this, Jared. Jared.
I
know this. Littlefeather showed up because Marlon Brando won the Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going back. Okay, yes.
Yeah. All right, yeah. In 1973. How old were you, 10?
I was not quite born yet.
Okay. Wink, wink. Sure. But anyway, she shows up. She accepts the award. Or she declines the award. She doesn't accept the award. She shows up to decline. That's how much Marlon Brando was getting under their skin. He's like, not only am I going to decline this award, I'm going to send somebody to decline it on my behalf. So she became one of the first pretendians because after her death, her sister, traitor, rat, I'm just kidding. Her sister revealed that she was a liar who had faked her identity all along. That's why you got to be nice to your siblings because once you pass, you do not want your siblings to air all your dirty laundry, especially if your dirty laundry was the only reason you were really famous to begin with. Now, tests showed No, in 2009, Variety named her as a top visionary while noting her half Cherokee roots. This is the current producer, Heather Ray. Over the years, she has burnished her credentials, which center on a claim that her mother, Barbara Riggs, was Cherokee. She has a tattoo of Selu, a Cherokee corn goddess. And in 2016, told a New Zealand conference, I grew up in the state of Idaho, which is in Pacific Northwest in the U.S. Now, in her latest project, Fancy Dance, it's a drama about a Native American woman who kidnaps her niece from the girl's white grandparents that premiered at January Sundance Film Festival. It was partly funded by the Cherokee Nation. But now we have word that TAFF highlights research, that's another group here, highlights research that argues that far from being, oh, that's the Tribal Alliance Against Fraudsters, that far from being half Indian, Ray has no ancestors recognized by the three Cherokee nations. The research includes a divorce certificate from 1969 showing both of Ray's parents, Vernon and Barbara, which, by the way, those sound really white. Those sound like really white names. Vernon and Barbara, listed as white. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Unless, of course, you're pretending not to be white, in which case, now you've gotten yourself into a bit of a pickle. On her father's side, listen to this. On her father's side, one ancestor arrived from England in Virginia before the Pilgrims. So we're not just dealing with... It's really like, oh, it's not like, oh, maybe there was a little bit of Cherokee. They have traced this back to before the Pilgrims. And on her mother's side, there is scant evidence of Cherokee connection. Census and other records show her maternal grandfather's ancestors all identifying themselves as white. I just want to point out here that we have a lot of like cold cases and mysteries that the government can't get to the bottom of. Just in the Biden administration alone, we have Nord Stream. We have the pipe bombs on January 6th. I would just like to point out that if we could get the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds to work on some of these cases, we might actually get to the bottom of something, because they're pulling up census records. They're pulling up, you know, maternal grandfathers, ancestors. Only one of them, Ray's fourth great grandparent, Jane E. Last Sister, has a possible Cherokee link, but even that is dubious. Ray and the producer's reps did not return multiple messages seeking comment in response to the allegations. I can already tell you what the comment's going to be, because I've read so many of these comments. The comment is going to be something along the lines of, I, too, am disturbed by the information that has come out about my ancestors. In my own time and in my own space and with my own agency, I will get to the bottom of this. And I'm sorry if anyone's been hurt or misled by this information. What I'm trying to say is there will be no apology. She will not apologize. She will pretend that she also is as perplexed as everybody else is. And this kind of brings me back to my original point when we talked about this last week for the latest Native American pretendian, because we get one a week at this point. You would be better off identifying as a cat, identifying as a different gender, identifying as a Native American. It seems to be the one thing where you are going to get found out. They are not messing around. 844-500-4242. We will come right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I just read a story about this woman, Heather Ray. She's like a Hollywood hero until she wasn't. She was a producer of all these movies. She sat on all these boards and she pretended to be Native American. She said her mother was Native American and her father was a cowboy. And it turns out that the only thing we know is that she is a liar, according to reports, and that she has been faking this heritage. And this really has become something that is so common. But what I'm noticing, and I'm curious if any of the callers are going to point this out as well, is it always has to do with Native American. A lot of the time, it has to do with Native American heritage that is being exploited, that is being appropriated. And if we've learned anything over the last couple of weeks, it's that if anyone else is out there, and there's got to be more, there's got to be more people doing this because it's like a scam a week at this point. I would be so nervous if I was someone who'd been pulling this for 25 years or 30 years and I'd been like making money off of it and using this fake ancestry as a way to get ahead. I would be tossing and turning every night before bed. Every day I'd wake up going, today's the day. Today's the day they are going to find me out. Sarah, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, hi, Grace. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
My husband and I adopted a full-blooded Sioux Indian boy from South Dakota, and had a lot of, you know, we had contact back and forth with his mom and all that. You know, we're not experts on American Indians, but I'll tell you what. You know, there are quite a few full-blooded Indians, but now they're intermarrying in tribes. And when we got our son, they were letting the Indian children out. Now they've closed ranks on the tribes. They've kept them in the tribes. But all they are such proud, beautiful people. They really are. They really, really are. And they're so talented. They're gifted. They can draw. They can work, like, you know, they're just beautiful, beautiful. He is so gorgeous. He's got black hair. He's 6'3" and 230 pounds. He's just a gorgeous individual. He really is. And it just fries me, you know, that they have to exploit this. You know, if they're one quarter Indian, right away I'm an American Indian. They're just so insulted by that. You know, they're proud of what they are.
Yeah, and you know what, Sarah? When you really think about it and you think of the history that so many of these tribes have gone through, it's like exploitation has been such a giant part of their history to begin with, and being exploited and being used. And the fact that now people are pretending to be them, when at one point being a Native American was so hard. And I'm sure in like Sarah just said, I'm sure there's still plenty of struggles to being a Native American right now. But the fact that then you have people who are pretending to be Native American to get ahead, to get an advantage, is gross. And Sarah's right. It makes perfect sense why, when this happens, you have groups like the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds who say, you know what, we're not just going to find out that you're a fake. We're going to go all the way back to your grandfather Lannister. We're going to figure out which town he was from. We're going to get his birth certificate. They do their research, these groups. And now we're just waiting for Heather Ray. We're just waiting to hear what Heather Ray is going to have to say about this whole thing. And I'm telling you, Jared, if she comes out and she gives a non-apology apology. Actually, you know what? I'll make you a better bet. I'll make you a better bet, Jared. If Heather Ray comes out and actually says, I'm sorry, and owns up to the lies, I will buy donuts for the office. If she does not own up to the lies, someone has to buy me a donut. That's all. Just one. I'm not going to require any of you to buy a dozen, but I will buy a dozen donuts if this woman comes out and says, I am sorry. Because she's going to issue some sort of apology. But you notice we've gotten very fast and loose with the term apology lately. Apology can now mean like, hey, I'm just as confused as you are. I'll check back in a little bit after I do some digging. That's not an apology. I want an I am sorry, Heather Ray. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The number is 844-500-4242. Reading now from the New York Post. It says 7 people were killed, including 3 children, after a shooter opened fire inside a private Christian elementary school in Nashville. Police say they received a call at 10:13 a.m. about an active shooter. with police rushing to the scene to clear the halls. At the scene, police heard gunshots on the second floor and came across a 28-year-old woman who was strapped with two assault rifles and a handgun. The shooter had killed three students and three staffers before she was fatally struck by responding officers by 10:17 a.m. Police have yet to publicly identify the shooter or the victims and have yet to announce a motive or connection between the shooter and the school. Really horrible, horrible news today. And Joe Biden is going to speak on it in just a few moments here. And unfortunately, I know exactly what's going to happen. You know, I wish I could say he's going to come out and he's going to try to bring the country together, try to understand that this is something that breaks everybody's hearts, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, and try to handle it in that way. But I don't think that's what's going to happen here. I think that, especially given that his press secretary has already come out and said how many children have to be murdered before Republicans will pass an assault weapons ban, I don't foresee Joe, I don't foresee a situation where he doesn't try to politicize this or doesn't try to exploit this, unfortunately, for his agenda. And like I said, if any part of this ceases to fit the narrative, it will be dropped. And that, to me, tells you a lot of what's happening here. It's horrible. It's tragic. There are seven people who are dead. And the media, the news outlets, they waste no time going right for the politics behind it, the politics of it all, and what they can pass or what they can say about the other side. How they can pin this on law-abiding gun owners? How they can pin this on Republicans? When truthfully, it's such an unfair thing to do in these situations, and everybody is equally devastated by this across the country. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. And I just wish our lawmakers could see that before they get on their Twitter and get on their soapboxes and start demonizing people who have nothing to do with this. And one other thing I'd like to add in is that it might behoove some of these news networks before they start putting random people on TV who are speculating on every aspect of what happened. It might behoove them to just think about that for a second and say, maybe we wait till we get more information before we start letting a random woman tell us how this gun was purchased and what kind of gun it was and where it was and how she got it. All these details, this woman has, at least from what I could tell, she kept saying likely, it's likely this, it's likely that. I don't know if these are reliable narrators that we're interviewing. And it seems like when something is so sensitive and so recent that these news stations should be a little bit more careful before running with these unsubstantiated claims. 844-500-4242. On a different note here, a couple headlines that I wanted to get to. One, DeSantis takes lead over Trump in early Iowa, New Hampshire polls. I was going to do this as a poll question earlier. I gave up on polls in 2016. And you're all at home going, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You liar. You're just a liar, Grace, because you cited so many polls heading into the red wave that never came to be. Yeah. Maybe that's actually when I gave up on polls, after the midterms, because I really started to think, so these mean nothing. These mean absolutely nothing. And I'm curious if anyone else feels that way anymore. Like, I read every headline every day, DeSantis poll. Trump's ahead of DeSantis in all these polls, but in New Hampshire, where people pay attention more, DeSantis is actually edging out Trump. First of all, we're very far away from any of this really meaning anything. But even when we get closer, Jared, I don't think I'm going to really focus on these polls at all anymore because they're wrong on everything. Like, they've been wrong far more than they've been right. So why do we keep paying attention to them?
Yeah, they've been wrong since 2016. I mean, let's be real. They none of them ever had Trump having a chance to win in 2016, and everything's just been wrong after that. It's an easy, I don't want to use the term clickbait, but it's easy content for people to put out there, and it's easy content for news organizations or other organizations to tweet or campaigns to tweet out or point to. It's its own self-sustaining industry, but yes, it is always wrong.
It's always wrong. And, you know, with 2016, I could maybe say, I think maybe I gave it another chance because I thought, well, Trump was such an outsider. There's a lot of people who probably didn't tell the truth when the pollsters called up. You know, there's a way they could have missed this. But the midterms, the red wave, I'm not so sure about that because that had to do with candidates in each state and the pollsters were still way off. So I'm not really too focused on DeSantis and Trump as far as the polls go. I think we got a long way. DeSantis hasn't even announced he's running yet. 844-500-4242. Now, what I want to go to here, Jared, is I mentioned Kamala Harris and I mentioned how I wrote an article. You guys can check it out at bostonherald.com. I'd really appreciate it. How Joe Biden is not impressed with Kamala Harris. He doesn't think, allegedly, he doesn't think that she's taking enough off his plate. He doesn't think that she's rising to the occasion. And over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of different stories out there. One of them was from the Boston Globe, this guy, Jeff Jacoby, who said maybe Joe could just do a swaparoo. I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't use the term swaparoo, but maybe Joe could just take a different black female politician and put her on the ticket instead of Kamala Harris. I found that to be incredibly offensive. Because as bad as Kamala Harris is, I would say Joe Biden's worse. Does she make gaffes? Hell yeah, she does. But Joe Biden averages like 5 gaffes a minute. Does she not go to the border, not go to East Palestine, not really do her job? Yeah, but she's just copying the boss. If it's working for the boss and you're the right-hand woman, you'd probably do the same thing. And one thing she has over Joe that I think is a huge asset for her is that as much as we kind of poke fun at her and Dougie Doug, yeah, we'll play for you guys, being a little bit of a goofy duo, I don't think they have as much personal baggage as the Biden family. Yeah, we can say Dougie Doug. He's a little cringe sometimes when he goes viral with Kamala. But I don't think they have like a granddaughter whose existence they won't acknowledge. I don't think that there's a Hunter Biden in the Harris family who is, you know, smoking Parmesan cheese off the rug. And I don't think that they're getting, you know, chunks of a Chinese wire transfer. So I would, if I were Joe, I would be a little bit hesitant to start throwing stones. And furthermore, if I were Kamala, I'd bring back the Kamala from 2020. The Kamala who said, that little girl was me. The Kamala who had no problem playing dirty and mudslinging a little bit at Joe. And I would pull Joe aside and I would say, hey, old man, we got a lot of people out here asking questions about Chinese wire transfers. Do you want me to take this off your plate? Do you want me to answer some of these questions? Then yeah, let's pipe down on the I'm not doing a good enough job for you. You're in no position to judge the job I'm doing. But he still is. He's not happy with it. Then we had Elizabeth Warren, and she was on Boston Public Radio. And she was asked if Kamala should be the VP, and she gave a very lukewarm response where she said, you know, I think they have to work as a team. And it was I translated it as no. I don't think Kamala should be the VP. So there's been these rumblings for a while. This week, you might be thinking to yourself, where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Tell me where in the world is
Tell me where can't she be?
That's what a
Well. She's actually on a big trip this week, Jared. She is in Ghana. She is visiting Africa for the full week. She's got a jam-packed schedule. And I'm not saying jam-packed schedule like Joe Biden's version of a jam-packed schedule, which is wake up, what, around 9? Jen Psaki was bragging about wake up around 9 and then you know, putter around a little bit and maybe meet with some celebrities. I'm talking she has a lot of events.
So Joe Biden is speaking now. He starts off making jokes about ice cream and how he eats Jenny's ice cream.
Let's take it live. Why not?
Ben, how are you, pal? One of the best guys in the United States Congress, Ben Cardin.
It says building on the business boom.
Folks, It's a delight to have you all here. And who are those good-looking kids back there?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, oh.
They're your kids, all four of them? Well, stand up, guys.
John, we'll jump back in.
No, what? Come on, man. Fox News dropping the ball. Don't jump back in. This is when he's riffing. This is when he's going off script. You're going to go, now you're going to go away from it?
And the, I'm listening to the anchors in queue. They're like, we were told he was actually going to be talking about this tragedy that unfolded, and now he's doing this.
I just said that his schedule's made up of eating ice cream and
yucking it
around.
Up with the crowd is exactly how Roberts described it.
He always, when he's looking at a crowd, he always points out the kids in the crowd. He always makes it about them. This is very strange. He was supposed to be addressing a very serious, very tragic event. And instead, you know what else is weird? I don't want to be nitpicky here. That doesn't really go with what I typically do on the show, Jared. But what's up with giving him the microphone and then having the microphone at the podium?
We've never been able to figure that out, other than he just has a tendency to wander.
So they want him to have a mic on him. They should just put one on his little...
Yeah, like a lavalier.
Yeah. Or
they're probably not called lavaliers anymore. I'm aging myself, but...
You sound like Joe.
Right.
Yeah, well, okay, so maybe we'll go back to Joe
a little bit
later.
Back in the day, he was a tin can of the dinosaur tail.
I will say, though, I was just a few moments ago saying, he's going to come out here and be inappropriate and politicize this and demonize Republicans.
He
was inappropriate, but I didn't really see it going there. Are they taking him?
Yeah, he turned on the sad button.
Okay, well, let's see.
You know, we're still gathering the facts of what happened and why. And we do know that as of now, there are a number of people who did not make it, including children. And it's heartbreaking, a family's worst nightmare. And I want to commend the police who responded incredibly swiftly, within minutes, and the danger. We're monitoring the situation really closely, Ben, as you know. And we have to do more to stop gun violence. It's ripping our communities apart, ripping the soul of this nation, ripping at the very soul of the nation. And we have to do more to protect our schools so they aren't turned into prisons. You know, the shooter in this situation reportedly had 2 assault weapons and a pistol, 2 AK-47. So I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban. It's about time that we began to make some more progress, but there's more to learn. But I just wanted to send my concern and hearts out to so many parents out there. I've been to so many of these sites, as Ben knows, by virtually everyone.
I just think that, and maybe I'm just behind the times, Jared. Maybe this is just what happens now. But there's something incredibly tasteless to me about not being able to do even just your first live event with just offering condolences and keeping it at that. Like, you have to promote and pump your assault weapons ban within the first 15 seconds of acknowledging this tragedy. And we can argue about whether that would have changed it or not. But it just, there's something about it that feels very, very exploitative to me.
And this is the first time he said 2 AK-47s. I have not seen that anywhere on any of the reports. It may be true, I don't know, but I haven't seen anything on that's come out about it, so.
And you know, sometimes I wonder, because when you're in broadcasting of any sort, you have to do a lot of different segues, Jared. Like, you have to move from one story to the next, and you always want to appear, you never want to appear insensitive when you're shifting. Like, just today, I was going from very serious things to very light things, and I never want people to think that I'm not taking anything seriously or, you know, anything like that. His segues are very strange. He goes from on and off very quickly. Like, even right now, I see him, he's got a big grin on his face talking about something else. Just very abrupt, his emotions. 844-500-4242. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Howie Carr about a bunch of different things, actually, one of his columns over the weekend. But I wanted to tell you guys about one of my favorite sponsors, and that would be Omaha Steaks. It is getting warmer. Yesterday was beautiful, Jared. I don't know if you got outside. It was stunning.
I actually did a lot of work in the garage yesterday.
just a great time to be outside. And when you're outside and it's getting warmer, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind, grilling. It's
grilling season. Unburying the grill is what I was doing.
Yes. And we have everything you need. Omaha Steaks has such great options for you. Burgers, steaks, hot dogs, air-chilled chicken, seafood. It's a great time to get out there and grill some seafood up. Everything is wonderful. And right now, they've got 50% off site-wide, so you can grab all of your favorites. You can try something new. You can share something with the family. And how's this for an extra bonus? You don't have to go to the grocery store, which to me, that's the tastiest thing of all, is not having to travel to the grocery store. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code GRACE at checkout. You'll get an additional $30 off your order. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Take advantage of this deal. They're ready to ship your order. You're going to want to hurry. They don't do the 50% off for a long time because it's, you know, it's a really great deal, so they can only run it for so long. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Get an additional $30 off when you shop their semi-annual sale today. Tell us what you get. Tell us how you cook it up. And a minimum order may be required. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley for a delightful afternoon.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Whoop. You guys have it, I think.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Afternoon delight.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream.
Wait, wait, hold on. Is this like on the set of NBC? Is this a shooting of the series Friends or something? This is a laugh track like I've never heard. Oh my gosh, it's like Seinfeld is happening. Is Julia Louis-Dreyfus back in the White House? Is Ted Lasso, the cast of Ted Lasso, answering questions? What is up with the laughter? He says, "I'm Joe Biden," and it elicits that kind of belly laughing. I can't hear you, Jared.
I didn't know the audience was that international.
Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets. It's incumbent on you to be prepared, so get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie15 to get 15% off your next purchase. Or do we have Howie Carr ready to go? All right, we're waiting on Howie. But yeah, so Joe Biden goes out there, and I don't know if maybe he didn't get the memo that he was going to be addressing this serious thing. But it was definitely a strange opening. Joining us now is Howie Carr. And Howie, the first thing I want to ask you about, you had so many gaffes from Joe Biden in your weekend column, but you started with one that I think could have been a Freudian slip. And that was, "So today I applaud China for stepping up. Excuse me, I applaud Canada." Is that what he would call a Freudian
goes,
slip?
You know what I'm thinking. To the wokesters in the Canadian Parliament, who are probably even further left than the Democrat Congress in the House, the Democrat House Caucus. And you know, and they're laughing at him. It was so glaringly obvious.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out that that's a Freudian slip, because the other one that you also got into your column was when he meant to say taking the guns out of the hands of domestic abusers, and he said domestic political advisors. That was kind of a whopper too, Howie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were so many. I mean, I filed my column, and then I found another one from Friday as well. And I had I put in a sub column. He said earlier, he said 500,000 charging stations, you know, and around the world. And then he said around the country. So he goes to Canada. He says, you know, we're really working hard. We're building 5,500 new charging stations.
Oh, boy. That and so much more when Howie Carr comes back. Stay strong, everybody. Prayers out to Nashville. We'll be back tomorrow.